Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today we're focused on pretending. For many of us, that can mean escape. Now, one way we can do that is through entertainment, particularly in works of fantasy or science fiction, which take us to alternate worlds, fictional pasts, or dystopian futures. But if you look at the way these genres are represented in the mainstream, you might think that sci-fi and fantasy authors and fans are almost all exclusively white men. In the first of a four-part series, producer Daisy Rosario takes us into the world of geekdom to look at diversity and the fight for representation.
Chances are you've seen The Lord of the Rings. Every child you've met in the last 10 years has likely read Harry Potter, and whether you're a fan or not, you can probably answer some basic questions about both Star Wars and Star Trek. But you might not know what's happening in that world right now. So I asked someone right in the thick of it, what's going on? Here's Nora Jemison.
Science fiction and fantasy are going through the same changes that the rest of the American mediascape and political landscape are going through. There is the sudden awareness that one particular kind of voice, that of straight white men, has dominated discussion and creation and publication and so on. A sort of sea change has been happening all along, but we're reaching critical mass.
That change is largely thanks to social media. But the internet didn't introduce Nora to these genres. You could also call her the award-winning author N.K. Jemisin. She's been into this stuff since she was a kid.
Science fiction stories are the power fantasies of the geek, you know, and I think that was what I was getting out of it was, you know, I kind of felt like the kid who was ostracized for being the one that liked to read. And yet in these other stories, people who liked to read and had no interest in sports could be the hero. And I think I needed that.
Eventually, she found direct inspiration.
But it was really, again, seeing Octavia Butler's books that told me I can do this in science fiction and fantasy. Because up to that point, I had seen only Black writers publishing Black books.
Nora went from writing as a hobby to entertaining the possibility of being a professional writer.
First, I was writing bog-standard science fiction and fantasy featuring stalwart white men going forth and doing stalwart white guy things. It was really only about in my mid-20s I started realizing there's something wrong with that. And I started to suddenly question, what's going on? Why is it that I have such trouble having fun in color?
Despite being a woman of color, she struggled to write characters that looked like her.
Everyone who grows up inculcated in a racist and sexist genre is going to have to work against that actively and consciously. And it's going to feel wrong at first because that's not what we're used to.
When Nora started trying to get published, she got a certain kind of feedback.
Not sure how to relate to this. Not sure who the audience for this would be.
I love this writing and I love the story. I just don't really identify with the character. My name is Daniel Jose Older. I'm a writer, an editor, and a composer. The code in that language is saying, oh, your people don't read. The truth is, we read. We read a lot. We love science fiction. We love fantasy. And we love to read.
If the industry doesn't see Latinos and other people of color as readers, maybe it's because it already has a hard time seeing them as people. Take, for example, something that often happens to Nalo Hopkinson. She's an award-winning science fiction and fantasy writer, born in the Caribbean.
When I write in Caribbean English, very often the editor wants to correct it. And not to standard English, but to their understanding of Black American English. But they don't have a sense that Black people speak differently in different parts of, you know, America, much less different parts of the world.
And if you agree with Nora Jemisin, the fact that the gatekeepers of the media don't know the difference does have an effect on what the general population understands.
We get our sense of empathy from media, from literature. We see and are encouraged to empathize with certain kinds of characters. And we are encouraged to know what they're feeling and guess at what's going on inside their heads.
Daniel Jose Older again.
We have to have this conversation about what does it do to the psyche of a culture, you know, of an entire people, both for folks of color looking at that and, you know, seeing that they can't be, we can't be our own saviors. And then to white people seeing that their role again and again is to save the world.
Hopkinson sees what it does to young people. She's a creative writing professor at the University of California, Riverside, and still has family and friends in the Caribbean.
We have a family friend who's also a professor who's been teaching for quite some time. And she says she'll get students, she's in Trinidad in the Caribbean, she'll get students who want to write science fiction fantasy who don't set it anywhere. They feel that they cannot use the places they know. And it breaks my heart that people feel like they have no place.
That message comes from every direction, even critically acclaimed shows. Here's Daniel.
Yeah, I love Game of Thrones, but when we see the Khaleesi be the savior, the white savior character, that is an old trope. That is a cliche. We're tired of that. It's boring.
When these authors, and also fans, try to address the issue, they get pushback. But for Daniel, Nora, and Nalo, it's not just about getting people to see their faces. It's about recognizing which faces are always there.
We're trying to get people to tell more in-depth stories, create more real, authentic characters, and do it right. And do it respectfully. We're asking people to recognize the full humanity of people of color.
And also to get people to see that it's not just about good intentions. Nala.
The other thing I encounter is people saying, well, why are you so focused on what race these writers are? I read everything. I don't pay attention to the race of the writer, so I must not be racist. All right, for game, just for now, look at your shelves. Find out the races of the writers on those shelves. I bet you most of them will be white. That's not because you're deliberately selecting for them. You don't have to.
All three agreed that if it were up to them, they would just be writers. But it's not that simple.
I don't see how I could not engage it to some extent, because I feel like if I didn't, there would be no place for me. I mean, black, female, queer, disabled, increasingly middle-aged. I've been needing to make space for me and mine from the beginning.
Which makes sense for writers in this genre.
The weird thing about science fiction fantasy is that in a way it's already dealing with these issues. It is a literature that is about fighting back against state control, meeting the other and what happens at that meeting.
Both writers and readers are working together to be heard.
There's a lot of crossover between social justice and sci-fi. And it's going to be more and more because of places like Twitter, because we're having these conversations and we're coming closer together and our voices are becoming unified in a way that they never had before.
But that doesn't mean that the fandom itself is new.
We've been here all along. We never were not here. It's just finally being acknowledged.
For Latino USA, I'm Daisy Rosario.